This is Audible.
Random House Audio presents Star Wars, Fate of the Jedi, Omen, by Christy Golden. Read for you by Mark Thompson. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Prologue. Orbiting Zyost, 2 standard years ago. Dissian felt the planet even before it appeared on the main bridge monitor of the Poison Moon. She sensed it had seen her, as she now saw it. This seemingly harmless world of blue and white and green. And she smiled gently. The pale geometric tattoos on her face, standing out in stark contrast with her dark skin tones, crinkled with her smile. This was the destination she had beheld in her mind's eye a short while before, the unvoiced answer to the question of what she was hoping to intercept here. She had ordered the crew of this frigate to make all speed and only hoped she was in time.
"Where are you going, charming one?"
To unopened eyes and dead senses, this planet would seem a world much as any other. A world with oceans and landmasses, heavily, practically entirely forested with 2 white ice-capped poles on either end. White clouds drifted lazily above it. But it was not a world like any other. It was Zyost, homeworld of the Sith. What was left of the Sith Order now remained silent and in hiding on Korriban. She would return there soon, but not without the prize she had come to claim. Dissian realized she was leaning forward slightly in anticipation and settled back in her command chair. She gently pushed her excitement down, lest it interfere with her mission.
"Waynus, take us into orbit."
In her role as an intelligence gatherer, the light, musical tone of her voice often deceived others into thinking her much, much more harmless than she was. Her crew knew better.
"Yes, Captain,"
the chief pilot of the Poison Moon replied. Waynus was a laconic man, not at all force-sensitive, pleased enough to do as he was told in exchange for the generous pay he was receiving. In his own way, the graying ex-pirate was as fair, honorable, and hard-working as many so-called upstanding citizens. He had done well by Dissian on this mission already.
"Any sign of the meditation sphere?"
she asked Athela, her sensor officer. Athela leaned forward. Her face, which would have been beautiful in the traditional Hapen manner, if not for the horrific burn scar that marred the right side, furrowed in concentration.
"Negative,"
Athela replied, as Zyost appeared in the forward viewports and the Poison Moon settled into orbit around it.
"No indication of it on the planet's surface."
She turned to regard her captain.
"Looks like we beat it here."
Dissian smiled again. No mistakes. All that remained was to capture the small vessel itself. Dissian settled in to wait, her dark eyes on the slowly turning planet in front of her. It gazed back at her, and she felt a tug in her heart. She wanted to land the Poison Moon, to walk Zyost's forests as other Sith had done in ages past. But that was not why they were here. She must think of the good of the One, the Order, above her own yearnings. One day, perhaps, she would stand upon the surface of this world, but that day would not be today. They did not have long to wait. Only a few moments later, Athela said,
"Picking it up on long-range sensors, Captain."
Dissian sat up straighter in her chair.
"You have all served well and brilliantly. Now, as our smuggler pilot might say, it is time to close this deal."
It was time for her, Dissian, to be perfect. She could not afford a mistake now. She felt it even as Athela transmitted the image to her personal viewscreen. There it was, the Sith meditation sphere. She regarded it for a moment, taking it in. The orange-yellow-red hue, the spherical shape flanked by twin sets of bat-like wings. It resembled an enormous eye.
"Hello again, charming one,"
she said in her most pleasant voice.
silence from the sphere.
As you see, we have anticipated your arrival. Why have you come to Zyost?
Home.
The voice was inside her head, masculine and intensely focused. A little thrill of exhilaration shivered through Dissian. This was not a pet to be coaxed, but a mount to be broken. It respected strength and will. Dissian had plenty of both.
There is a better place for you than on an abandoned world.
Dissian did not speak the words. Her melodic voice was no asset in this negotiation. The focus and strength of her thoughts were. The vessel continued its approach to Zyost, not wavering in the slightest. But Dissian sensed she had its attention. It would listen.
You are a Sith meditation sphere. Come with me to where the Sith are now. Serve us as you were designed to do.
She let herself visualize Korriban, with not just two Sith, but many who were one. With apprentices in need of focus and training and the power of the dark side, if they were to achieve the glory and power that were rightfully theirs.
It's slowing its approach, Ithila said. It's come to a full halt.
Dissian didn't bother to tell the Haven woman that she already knew that she was intimately connected with this meditation sphere, this ship. It seemed particularly interested in the younglings, and she understood that this had been the focus of its design, to protect and educate apprentices, to prepare them for their destinies.
You will come to Korriban. You will serve me, Dissian. And you will teach the younglings. You will fulfill your intended purpose.
This was the moment upon which everything hinged. She sensed scrutiny from the vessel. Dissian was unashamed of her strengths and let it see her freely. It sensed her will, her drive, her passions, her desire for perfection.
Perfection,
said Ship. It mulled over the word.
Nothing less serves the dark side fully. You will help me to attain perfection for the Sith.
Perfection cannot be obtained by hiding.
Dissian blinked. This had caught her by surprise.
It is wisdom. We will stay isolated, grow strong, and then claim what is ours.
Ship considered. Doubt gnawed at the corner of Dissian's mind like a gizka. She crushed it utterly, ruthlessly, and poured all her will into the demand.
The Jedi grow strong and numerous. It is not time to hide. I will not serve. I will find a better purpose.
She felt it shut down in her mind, close itself off to her in what was tantamount to a dismissal. Dissian felt her cheeks grow hot. How could it have refused?
Captain, said Ithila, the ship has resumed course to Zyost.
I can see that,
Dissian snapped, and Ithila stared openly. Ship was a rapidly disappearing sphere on her screen, and as she watched, it was lost to sight. Dissian returned her attention to her crew, who, she realized, were all looking at her with confused expressions on their faces. She took a deep, steadying breath.
The vessel would not have been appropriate for us, she said, her pleasant voice challenging anyone to disagree. Its programming is antiquated and outdated. Our original message was successful. It is time to pick up the shuttle crews and return home. Plot a course through hyperspace for Omega-379,
she instructed Wayness. He turned around and his fingers flew lightly over the console. The Poison Moon's original mission had not been to recover ship, as Dissian had begun thinking of the sphere. Dissian had initially been sent to track down a Twi'lek woman named Alima Rar and her base of operations. Rar had somehow inherited a lost force technique that enabled her to project phantoms across space. Dissian had been ordered to destroy both the woman and the dark side energy source, lest either fall into Jedi hands. And then she had been forced to choose between two unexpected prizes. When the Poison Moon arrived at Alimarar's base, coming in stealthed, Dissian had discovered they were not alone. One of the two vessels already at the asteroid was none other than the Millennium Falcon. Subsequent observations of her operations revealed that it was more than likely her notorious owner, Han Solo, was piloting, and quite possibly his wife, Leia Organa, traitor to the noble name of Skywalker, was with him. Her crews had placed bombs on the asteroid that had been Alima's base, and Dissian, not about to let such a victory slip away, was turning her attention to the destruction of the Corellian freighter. But before Dissian could issue the orders to detonate the bombs and attack the Falcon, ship had emerged from the base without Ali Marar. Dissian had made the decision to follow and attempt to capture ship, forgoing an attack on the Falcon. She had ordered the bombs to detonate and the crews that had placed them to await her return on the largest asteroid in the system, designated Omega-379. No doubt they were anticipating her swift return. Dissian pressed her full lips together. She had chosen tracking ship over blowing the Millennium Falcon out of the skies. She had done exactly what she had threatened her crew not to do. Made a mistake. And now, she could claim neither victory. Let ship remain isolated on Zyost. It would find no one to serve. No one to permit it to do what it was designed for. In her irritation, Dissian allowed the thought to comfort her.
Chapter 1 Jedi Temple, Coruscant.
Gisela Horn felt like a part of her, like her brother, was encased in carbonite, frozen and isolated and unable to move. Yet somehow she forced her legs to carry her forward, toward the Jedi Temple that would, she hoped, have some answers for her today. Ever since the inexplicable and horrifying moment when her older brother, Valen, had turned on their parents, eyes wild, teeth bared, screaming nonsense, part of the youngest Horn had gone with him into the cold prison in which she was now encased. She had always been the baby of the family, the tag-along, the me-too little sister. 3 standard years separated the Horn siblings, and it had only been recently that they had begun relating as friends and not just as brother and sister. Gisela had always idolized her easygoing, level-headed big brother. The lives of her rather famous family had been fraught with danger almost since the day she was born. Often she and Valen had been separated from their parents and even from each other for long periods of time. 3 Jedi in a family did not make for much time spent doing traditional familial things, but the challenges and the separation had always brought them closer, not driven wedges between them. Gisela shivered. Cold. She was cold. He was cold, and in carbonite. Her kind, grinning brother, the gentle and loved one, whom they said was criminally insane. He had attacked both their parents, claiming that they had somehow been stolen away and replaced by fakes. How could such a thing have happened? But it had, and Valen had been caught, arrested, and imprisoned in the most horrible way possible. Basil Worf laid a heavy, jade-green hand on her narrow shoulder as they climbed up the long, ceremonial staircase of the processional way toward the Jedi Temple. A series of grunts and squeaks issued from his tusked mouth as he offered reassurances.
I know,"
Gisela said to the Ramoan with a sigh. His small, piggy eyes were full of compassion.
"Everyone's doing their best. It doesn't make it any easier."
Basil, Barv as his little circle of close friends called him, considered this and nodded agreement. He squeezed her shoulder, putting all his concern into the gesture, and Gisela forced herself not to wince. Around his fellow Jedi, Basil tended to forget how strong he was. With little Amelia, the young war orphan who had been adopted by Han and Leia Solo, though, the Ramoan was gentle to a fault. Amelia often went for rides on Barb's huge shoulders, laughing and giggling. The little girl was fond of everyone in the unit, as Barb, Yakiel, Savin-2, Valen, and Gisela called themselves.
"The big guy's right,"
Yakiel, walking on Gisela's other side, commented.
"Don't underestimate what a group of top Jedi can do when their backs are against the wall."
Gisela had to force herself again to refrain from wincing, this time from the coolness of the Bothan's words. She'd known both Barb and Yakiel for a long time. They had been Valen's friends first, but had drawn Gisella happily into the circle as she grew older. Yakil used words in the same controlled, deadly way she used her lightsaber. Normally, the acerbic, cynical comments she was fond of drawling didn't bother Gisella in the slightest, but now she felt raw, like her emotional skin had been flayed away, and even the slightest breeze caused agony. Barv oinked, annoyed, and Yakil's ear twitched slightly. Barv was convinced that the Jedi were working hard to find a cure for Valen's condition, not because their own necks were threatened, but because it was the right thing to do, because that's what Jedi did. Tears of gratitude stung Gisella's eyes as she smiled at her friend. Yakil's ears lowered slightly, a sign that Barv's simple faith had gotten to her as well. That wasn't unusual. Everyone except dear, slightly dense Barv himself, knew that Yakil had a soft spot for the big guy, and no one blamed her for it. Barv was uncomplicated and true, with a heart as big as the galaxy and an unshakable sense of right and wrong. Gisella desperately wanted to believe him in this case, but the fear, fluttering at the back of her throat like a living thing, prevented it.
"Anyway, honey, we know your brother's got his head screwed on right," Yakil said in a gentler tone of voice. "Whatever's happening to him, I'm convinced it's only temporary. What you need to do is stop watching news vids. They're all about reporting whatever sounds juiciest, and that's usually not the truth."
They'd reached the temple entrance. Once the Jedi Temple had been notable for its 5 spires, a unique feature of the Coruscant skyline. But much of that had been destroyed during the Yuuzhan Vong War. A great deal of the interior of the temple had been restored to its former appearances, right down to the marble patterns on the floors in some cases. But the exterior, a collection of stone and transparisteel pyramids in a variety of sizes, was aggressively modern. Gisella found she missed the familiar statues of 4 former masters that once stood guard over the main entrance. She sighed. She just turned around to speak to her friends when she found herself caught up in a nearly crushing hug. A grin curved her lips despite herself, and she hugged Barv back.
"Thanks, Barv,"
she said, using up the last bit of air he'd left in her lungs. He released her, and she gulped oxygen, smiling up at him. Yakil embraced her then, all warm, slightly spicy-scented fur and a softness that most people never really got to know.
"You'll feel better once you're doing something," Yakil said.
Barv allowed that he himself always felt better when he was doing something. Usually that involved attacking bad guys. Yakil patted Gisella's cheek.
"Sure you don't want us coming in with you?"
"No, it's okay. You two have done enough. I don't know what I would have done without you, honestly," Gisella said,
the words burbling out of her.
"Mom and Dad have been so focused on Valen, and I mean, of course, they should be focused on him. I am too, just..."
"You don't need to say it,"
Yakil interrupted her gently, sensing, as Gisella now did, that if the human girl continued, she'd lose what tenuous control she had.
"We're the unit, and the unit can always rely on each other. You'd have done the same for us."
Barv nodded vigorously, and it was true. Gisella and Valen would have done the same for either of these two friends and fellow Jedi Knights. Done a lot more, as she knew they would have, if they had to.
"Well,"
she said, trying to put a brave face on it,
"with you two and the whole Jedi Order, I'm sure we'll have Valen out of that carbonite slab in no time. Though, I have to admit, when I was a kid, there were plenty of times when I'd have loved it if he had been a calf table that didn't talk back."
It was a feeble attempt at humor, but they all seized it and laughed.
"Gotta laugh or I'll cry,"
Gisella thought, and Valen wouldn't want her to cry. She'd done altogether too much of it in recent days. Grinning, Yakil slipped her arm through Barb's.
"Come on, I'll buy you a calf. We still on for lunch, Sella?"
Lunch? She'd forgotten about that. She seemed to be forgetting a lot these days, except the overwhelming longing for everything to be all right again.
"Oh, right. Yes, come back in a few hours. I'm sure I will have annoyed Silgal sufficiently by then."
She laughed, a genuine laugh this time. It was a good note to end on, and the three remnants of the unit waved at one another. Gisela watched Barv and Yakiel walk off, then sighed and turned to enter the temple. She smiled politely at the five apprentices who were stationed there as guardians. How many times had she been there before? She had lost count. It had always been a special place, as it was to every Jedi. For long stretches, when she was not out on assignment, it had been home. But now, it seemed even more to her to be a bastion of hope. Somewhere within this vast repository of knowledge, some information that could help her brother had to be housed. Some clue as to what had happened to him, and how to put it right. Barv thought so. Gisela clung to that hope as well. Her booted feet rang in the vast, open space of the temple entrance hall as she headed toward the turbolift that would take her to the first wing of the archives. She crossed her arms, fidgeting slightly, as the turbolift hummed softly and bore her to the top floor. She found Silgall in a small alcove in the depths of the stacks, seated at one of the tables and surrounded by tall piles of glowing blue data tapes and data cards. Her smooth brown head was bent over an ancient text, and her flipper-like hands were encased in gloves to protect the delicate old flimsy. She looked up at Gisela's approach.
"Gisela, right on time,"
she said, her gravelly voice warm. Gisela offered her a weak smile in return and slipped into the seat across from her. Even though this was the arranged time for them to meet, it was clear that Silgall had been here for a while already.
"Hi."
Gisela sighed and reached out for a datapad, holding it in a limp hand.
"I'm sorry, Master Silgall. I don't even know where to start trying to help."
Silgall regarded her sympathetically, slightly turning her head to fix Gisela with a single large bulbous eye.
"You know everyone is doing everything they can. It is important to us all that your brother recover fully, and that we understand what happened to him. With understanding will, we very much hope, come a cure, and the ability to negotiate his release from Galactic Alliance custody."
Gisela winced and brushed back a lock of reddish-brown hair that had escaped the haphazard bun she'd pinned up that morning.
"I know, it's upsetting that this is only serving to damage the Jedi in the eyes of the public. Valen, he would never have wanted that."
"Of course not,"
Silgall soothed.
"This is in no way a reflection on your family, Gisela. It is simply a tragic and temporarily, I hope, an inexplicable event."
Silgall sounded utterly earnest, and Gisela believed that the Mon Calamari healer meant every word. She knew that Silgall was, to some degree, against the idea of Jedi having attachments, and yet she was still so kind and supportive to Gisela. It meant a lot. Still, she wished Master Skywalker were here. Although Luke had done everything he could to make sure the transition of power was smooth, the Jedi Order had been thrown into tumult upon his departure. She knew Master Hamner was doing his best in the thankless role of trying to handle everything tactfully, but also knew he wasn't succeeding. The last thing the Order needed was a crazy Jedi Knight running around claiming that people weren't who they were. And now Valen was encased in carbonite in a GA prison, unable to be with those who loved him, to even comprehend that those who loved him were trying to help him. Empathetically feeling the cold that enshrouded Valen, Gisela wrapped slim arms around her own body and shivered slightly.
"Oh, Valen, if you could only tell us what had happened. Why you looked at Mom and Dad and thought they weren't themselves. How could you not know your own parents?"
Tears leaked past her closed lids, and she brushed them away angrily.
"Stop it, Sela,"
she told herself sternly. Grief and worry would not serve Valen or the Order now. Only calmness and knowledge would. She opened her eyes and reached for the discarded datapad.
"That looks like a very old record," she said, lifting her eyes to Silgall. "Do you have any theories on—"
Gisela felt the blood drain from her face. The Mon Cal was apparently done with the old flimsy, and now was intently studying the information on a datapad. Her large eyes were fastened on it, unblinking in her concentration. The alcove was quiet, save for soft voices talking and the sound of footfalls some distance away. All was as it had been just a moment before. except everything, everything, had been turned upside down. Valen had been right. She saw it now. Gisella inhaled swiftly. It looked like Silgal. Whoever had done this had not missed a detail. It even moved like the Mon Calamari healer. And it had certainly acted and sounded like her. But Gisella suddenly and sickly understood exactly what her brother had meant. The knocked Silgal turned to regard Gisella, cocking her head curiously.
Gisella? What is it?
Nothing.
You know what?
She gave a shaky laugh.
I think I may be too upset to help you out much.
She managed. She rose. She had to get away, and fast, before this doppelganger realized she was on to its deception. But where would she go? Who could she tell? If Valen had been right, then everyone except for her had been taken and replaced by their doubles. How could she not have seen this earlier?
Oh, Valen, I'm sorry I didn't believe you.
The imitation Silgal looked fully away from the datapad she had been studying and fixed Gisella with one huge circular eye.
You've held up very well indeed throughout all this, Gisella,
the doppelganger said gently.
It's not surprising that you might now be finding you cannot carry it all. Do you wish to talk about this? Speaking one's worry and fears can be as healing as Bactatanks in its own way.
The rough voice was warm and concerned. It only rattled Gisella more. Stang, whoever it was, she was good. She had mastered Silgal's voice, her inflections, her movements. No wonder she was succeeding at fooling everyone. But Valen hadn't been fooled. Although, in his confusion, he had mistaken his sister and parents for doppelgangers, like the one before her now.
Oh, no. What if he'd been right about Mom and...
I think I had just better go.
One hand dropped casually to her waist, resting on the lightsaber hilt that was fastened there. As a full Jedi Knight, she was authorized to carry the weapon throughout the temple, except in a very few restricted areas. She'd almost forgotten it this morning in her stress over Valen. Now, she was tremendously glad she had gone back for it. Silgal's eye followed the gesture, and she got to her feet. She had her own weapon, of course, but made no move to draw it.
Gisella, why don't you come with me, and we'll...
Terror shot through Gisella, and a sob escaped her. She stepped back, her hand gripping the lightsaber hilt so hard her knuckles whitened.
Get away from me!
She screamed, her voice shaking.
Gisella?
It reached out to her imploringly.
I said get away!
Gisella drew the lightsaber in one hand and shoved the other in the false Silgal's direction. The males in her family were unable to use telekinesis. Gisella was not so hampered, and she used that ability now. She put all her fear, all her focus in the gesture, and not Silgal was caught unawares as Gisella force-shoved her back into a stack of data pads. She didn't pause to watch as Silgal crashed into the stack. By then, Gisella Horn, quite possibly the only real person left on the planet, maybe in the galaxy, except for her brother, was racing down the aisle toward the turbolift as fast as she could go. Silgal recovered quickly, using the force to steady the stack and prevent it from toppling entirely. A few data pads clattered to the floor as she rose and reached for her comlink with one hand and her lightsaber with the other. She had been utterly taken by surprise and mentally rebuked herself.
Temple security! This is Master Silgal!
She said, even as she began racing after the fleeing human.
Jedi Gisella Horn is to be captured and retained. Do not harm her if at all possible. She is not herself. Notify Master Hamner immediately. Tell him we've got another one.
Acknowledged,
came a crisp, cool voice. Silgal clicked the comlink off. Time enough for more details once Gisella was safely apprehended. It was obvious what had happened. Like her brother, Gisella Horn had lost her reason. But unlike Valen, who had been irrationally angry, Gisella was pouring utter and abject fear into the Force. Whatever her mind might be telling her, it was terrifying her beyond anything Silgal had experienced from a human before. Compassion, combined with a grim determination to prevent the frightened young woman from harming anyone, lent the Mon Calamari speed. One way or another, they would stop her. After all, this was the Jedi Temple. And Jycella, although quite a capable Jedi Knight, was hardly unstoppable, even if fueled by insane fear. Where could she possibly go?
Chapter 2 Jedi Temple, Coruscant.
Where could she go? Jycella was trapped. Trapped like an animal. And she had to get out. She had to.
Oh, Valen. Valen, I'm so sorry. I didn't believe you. I'm so sorry.
She couldn't take the turbo lift. It was too slow. And besides, they, the doppelgangers, would shut down the power to it and trap her inside. She'd have to get down to the main floor another way, and she knew exactly how. The turbolift shaft was located in the center area where the hallways of the archives came together. Four ramps led over an open space from the halls to the turbolift. There were carved stone banisters at waist height, more for decoration than function. Any Jedi walking over these ramps could glance down and see the corresponding hallways of the floor below. Jycella did not hesitate for an instant. Clutching her activated lightsaber in one hand, she reached out with the other, placed it on the cool marble of the banister, and vaulted diagonally to the other walkway on the floor below. Using the force to control the leap, she landed easily. She had just turned her head and was about to jump to the next level when she heard Nott Silgall's voice.
Jycella, wait! What you think is not true. No one has stolen us away. We...
Terror flooded Jycella so that her sweaty hand almost lost its grip. She sprang for the next level, haphazardly and inaccurately, and slammed her knee hard against the marble banister as she clung to it from the side. She felt the presence of the Jedi rushing toward her, and her head whipped up. She knew this Jedi, or rather, knew who she was supposed to be. The doppelganger looked exactly like the Fallen female Natua Wan, right down to Natua's preference for blue beads woven into her long black hair. Her lightsaber was activated, and she was shouting something at Jycella. Some nonsense about how she didn't want to hurt her, that something wasn't right with Jycella's thinking, but that they wanted to help her. And this doppelganger's skin was changing color, just like a real Fallen's would when she was exuding pheromones in order to trap Jycella.
Right,
she muttered. Jycella couldn't release either the railing or her lightsaber, but Nott Natua had to be stopped before the pheromones took effect. Her eyes lit on a bust that sat on a small table at the end of this hallway. With a quick snap of her head, Jycella threw the carved stone bust of a long-dead Jedi at the being who was impersonating a living one. It slammed hard into Natua's double, and she fell. Jycella didn't want to see if the false Fallen got up. Grimly, she dropped down, landing easily on the balls of her feet. Jycella was on the main floor now. Escape and safety, temporary though it might be, was just a few moments away. She turned and saw the exit from this wing. It opened onto the huge main hallway. Beyond that, the promenade and freedom. Jycella gulped and started running. She swore under her breath as another Jedi emerged from one of the side stacks. This one looked like a Brub, but she didn't recognize him. They were everywhere, these false ones. So desperate was her need to get out that she didn't even slow. With a snarl, she made a gesture as if she were running her fingers horizontally along one of the shelves. Hundreds of data tapes sprang forward as if thrown from where, a heartbeat before, they had been safely ensconced. They showered down on the Jedi Knight, momentarily distracting him as he tried to deflect them. Brub were strong, and no doubt this doppelganger had that quality as well. Little that Jycella could throw at him would harm him, but all she needed was to buy a couple of moments. Coming at the Brub at a dead run, Jycella threw her lightsaber directly at him. She saw his slitted eyes widen in his pitted yellow-skinned face as the glowing weapon hurtled end over end toward him. He barely got his own lightsaber up in time to bat the blade away. By then, Jycella was in the air, vaulting easily over him, extending her hand to call her weapon back to her. She landed lightly, raced through the entrance, then whirled and touched the button that caused the door to this wing to slam shut. He could open it from the other side, she knew. To prevent that, she shoved her lightsaber hilt deep into the controls. They crackled and hissed, and her nose wrinkled at the acrid burning smell. It wouldn't hold them for long, but she'd bought herself a precious moment to think. Blast it. Clear her head and think. She was prey, trapped in the Rancor's lair, and she had to get out. She took a slow, steadying breath, and with the control of a Jedi Knight, she calmed her racing, terrified thoughts. Gisella closed her eyes for a moment, breathing in through her nose and out through her mouth, and then slowly opened them and saw something very strange. Silgal caught up with Rod Minker as the Brub was using his lightsaber to cut a hole in the door. She reached out into the Force, trying to sense Gisella, startled to realize that the young woman was still on the other side of the door.
Silgal to security,
she said on her comlink.
Gisella Horn is directly outside the archives on the south side. She has closed the door and destroyed the controls. Jedi Minker is currently cutting through the door with his lightsaber. My guess is that once she catches her breath, she'll head straight for the promenade exit. She's frightened, and I anticipate she'll take the most direct route. Expect her to bolt.
Acknowledged. She won't get past us.
Silgal replaced the comlink on her belt and extended her thoughts into the Force, trying again to see if she could reach Gisella and calm the panicked human. She braced herself for the expected, almost animalistic fear that had buffeted her the first time she'd reached out to Gisella. Instead, she found something else entirely. The fear was still there, yes, but over and around it was something that was only vaguely familiar to Silgal, and the Mon Cal healer couldn't quite place it. She frowned, letting herself drop in deeper. Gisella saw herself racing down the hallway toward freedom. The hallway was flanked by large pillars on either side, supporting the beautifully carved roof. Before her astonished gaze, hitherto concealed doors and two pillars opened, and two security droids emerged. They started attacking her at once. Gisella watched, trying to understand what she was seeing, as her other self batted back bolts so quickly her lightsaber was nothing more than a blue blur. Was this really her, or just her imagination? What was going on? From the entrance, the five apprentices she had seen half an hour before had nodded to in greeting, came rushing in. One of them was shouting something into a comlink. The other Gisella lunged forward and brought her lightsaber down on one of the security droids. It sliced clean through the metal and wires. She flipped just as the other droid was firing, executing a one-handed cartwheel and lashing out with her lightsaber. This droid, too, was disabled, slowing to a halt, black smoke emanating from it. By then, the other Gisella was on her feet, and the apprentices were on her. She watched, amazed at her own courage and determination, as she fought wildly. She did not escape unscathed. One blow dragged across her cheek, searing in a black burn. Another blow nearly severed her left arm. Still, the other Gisella fought on. One by one, she slew them, dropping the false apprentices until there were none left. She did not mourn them. They were not really apprentices, simply more imposters. In agony, she stepped quickly over the bodies and made for the doors. Gisella cried out as she watched what happened next. So close. She was so close to making it. But even as the other Gisella was bathed in sunlight from outside, the shield at the entrance to the temple was activated. Gisella let out a sob as she watched herself writhing, trying to escape, caught as surely as an insect trapped in a spider's web. No! Gisella cried aloud. She had been mesmerized, watching this strange scene unfold, and was suddenly seized with a realization. And there was a way for her to prove this realization right. She knew, as all Jedi knew, that there were all kinds of security measures in place at the temple. The past had starkly shown that even a temple with Jedi in it could still be violated. Gisella, like all the Jedi Knights, and probably most of the Masters, wasn't privy to exactly what many of these security measures were. At least, she had never been before. But if her guess was correct, she sprinted to the pillars. If she had indeed somehow been granted a glimpse into the future, then a droid was ensconced within them. With a grunt, she thrust her lightsaber in at the exact spot where she suspected the droid's center would be. The lightsaber cut through the marble pillar and into the metal and wiring of a security droid. With a whiny hiss and crackle, it was disabled before it was even alerted to attack her. Elated, Gisella leapt across the main hall to the other pillar and repeated the process. She turned her head to the exit. She didn't see the apprentices coming at her yet, which meant she had a chance. Quickly, she turned back the way she had come and saw the telltale outline of the door to a service corridor, opened it, and ducked inside. She closed the door behind her, then dived behind the large outline of one of the larger, more industrial-duty cleaning droids. She curled up, trembling, hugging her knees to her chest as she had when she was a little girl, and concentrated on masking her presence within the Force. Gisella had bolted, and Silgall didn't know where. She only knew that the presence on the other side of the door, so very frightened, and yet tinged with that strange sense of there, not there, was gone. Quickly, she clicked her comlink.
Gisella is on the move,
she said.
Get people at the main entrance immediately. I think she may be heading for it.
There came a few seconds of silence, interrupted only by the protesting sound of the door as the lightsaber slowly cut a circle through it. The doors were meant to be activated in case of an intruder in the temple to protect the archives or in case of another disaster such as fire. Thus, these doors were not the easiest to get through, not even for a lightsaber. And Rod Minker's blade was dragging like a stick through poured and setting duracrete as he determinedly kept going. It would take several more precious seconds before they were through, and Silgall didn't think Gisella Horn had several more seconds. She was dreadfully worried that the confused young woman would get herself killed.
It's impossible!
Came a sudden yelp from the comlink. Silgall, who had seen enough to know that the word impossible was one not to be bandied about lightly, didn't comment on the exclamation. She asked,
What's happened?
The locations of the security droids are strictly on a need-to-know basis.
This was true. Even Silgall didn't know where they were ensconced.
There's only a handful of my team who have that information. And yet Gisella targeted and destroyed the two we were just about to activate. She couldn't possibly have determined their locations at all, let alone in so short a time.
Silgall thought about the strange resonances she had sensed from Gisella a few moments before, and unease stirred inside her as a suspicion began to form.
Go on,
said Silgall, her enormous eyes on the slowly moving blade.
And she's not heading for the main entrance. We don't know where she's heading.
She's going to want to get out, I can assure you of that much,
Silgall said.
I would send security teams to every other exit.
Yes, Master Silgall.
Silgall sighed. Rod threw her an apologetic glance.
I'm sorry this is taking so long, Master.
Perhaps I can assist, said Silgall.
Her lightsaber activated with a snap hiss. She stepped forward and plunged it into the door, feeling the resistance, and began to slowly pull it through the material to meet up with Rod's incision. It was tricky doing this in tandem. There was the risk of suddenly feeling the metal yield and having both lightsabers collide while surrounded by white-hot metal, which was why Silgall hadn't stepped forward before. But Gisella's life possibly hung in the balance. Silgall would just have to focus. Gisella felt them rush past her, sensed their concentration on reaching the exits, their focus so great that they failed to search the immediate area and the Force. That was why they were still just apprentices. No, she thought, they weren't. They were imposters. That was why they hadn't sensed her. A shiver ran through her, and for a moment she was so frightened she couldn't move. Then, through sheer will, she forced her legs to unfold and got to her feet. She pressed the door with her hand, and it slid open. There was no one, nothing, between her and the exit. The guardian apprentices had gone off elsewhere. What about the shield that had been the downfall of her future self? Wait. One of the apprentices had been speaking into his comlink as he ran toward her. Was it then that it was activated, when they knew she was heading for it? Had he already contacted security? There was no time to head for another exit. No time to sit and concentrate to see if she could again find her future self to learn what had happened. Gisella took a deep breath, grasped her lightsaber firmly, and ran down the empty hall. She tensed as she approached the entrance, the daylight coming through and pooling on the carpeted floor, expecting at any moment to feel the energetic net being dropped around her. Nothing happened. Gisella bit back a sob of relieved joy and raced out to freedom.
Chapter 3. Temple District, Coruscant.
Yakiel sipped the hot, dark beverage and glanced at the newcomer to the tap calf. He was human, slender but not scrawny. He had a full head of hair, tawny and immaculately styled, and his clothing was fashionable but tastefully understated. His face was quite handsome by human standards, but the full lips seemed to her to be held in a constant smirk. Yakiel's sensitive nose detected some sort of musky scent about him. She had learned that humans liked to adorn themselves with perfume, or cologne, as it was called, apparently not trusting in their own natural scents to attract the opposite sex. Bothans had no such concerns. They all smelled unique, and almost all smelled appealing, at least to other Bothans. She cast a glance at Barv and wondered what he thought of her scent. Barv was enjoying his calf in silence, his oversized hands holding an appropriately oversized mug. His jade face, with the thick, boxy snout and strong chin that often made him look so glowering and imposing to others, was relaxed in what Yakiel recognized as comfortable good cheer. Yakiel turned her eyes back to the stranger, noting the well-manicured hands that accepted a portable cup. Now that she looked again, he seemed familiar to her somehow. Not the scent, she'd have remembered that, but his looks. Was he a Holovid star? She watched the occasional one that Valen and Gisela had recommended to her, and found them passably entertaining, but she couldn't identify him. The stranger paid and walked out. He strode off briskly, and a droid that had been patiently waiting outside suddenly lifted and floated after him. A Hologlide J-57 cam droid. And Yakiel realized where she knew the stranger from. Her eyes narrowed, and she growled softly, her fur rippling in displeasure.
A journalist,
she spat, infusing the single word with the same disgust and loathing with which she would have said, a Sith. Barv grunted, but he allowed that journalists, despite Yakiel's personal opinion, were beings too, and they should be allowed to buy a cup of calf if they felt so inclined. A pedestrian hurtled through the tap calf's window right about then. Transparisteel folding about him as he hit a table, and the conversation was dropped. Both Jedi Knights leapt to their feet, weapons in hand but not activated, and raced outside as the customers inside screamed and ducked. A soft, pudgy Ortolan, screaming and flailing his blue arms and legs, ears flapping wildly, hurtled toward Barv. Still calm, he lifted a massive hand and force-caught the Ortolan, lowering him gently to the ground. Yakiel's lightsaber snap hissed to life, and she extended her senses, reaching past the chaos and fear to identify the source of the disturbance. It took less than a second, and her eyes lit upon the miscreant at the same instant the Force directed Yakiel's attention toward her. Her feline jaw gaped for a precious second.
Gisela!
She was there, just outside the Jedi Temple. Her lightsaber lit and clutched in one hand, while her other was extended, clearing a path through the crowd and battering back any would-be attackers. Gisela's eyes were huge, and even at this distance her friends could see the combination of terror and determination in them.
Stang,
muttered Yakiel. Barv was right beside her, and moving as one, the two raced toward their friend and fellow Jedi. Barv rapidly began to outpace the Bothan, moving much more swiftly than most would expect of the large Ramoan. Neither he nor Yakiel knew who was attacking Gisela, but it didn't matter. She was Sela, a member of the unit, and time seemed to slow. In that stretched-out moment, Yakiel watched as Gisela tensed. The human Jedi could not possibly have seen Barv running to her side, and somehow Yakiel didn't think Gisela sensed him in the Force. Gisela didn't seem to react so much as she simply leapt and sprang. Barv was suddenly and unexpectedly jostled by a fleeing crowd member. That was something he needed to work on, Yakiel thought disconnectedly. He tended to hyperfocus in moments of crisis, and ended up several steps to the right of where he had been running. And yet Gisela was there. The lightsaber descended so fast that Barv barely was able to block it with his own in time. Yakiel stared, stunned into inaction for a moment. Why was Gisela...
It's not you!
Gisela was screaming as she pressed the attack. She seemed to know exactly when Barv would duck, would parry, would push forward, would execute a Force leap. It would have been astonishing to watch, almost balletic, if it weren't for the horror that Gisela Horn was fighting another Jedi. And not just any Jedi, but one who was among her best friends in the galaxy. Fortunately for Barv, Gisela's uncanny and hitherto unguessed at ability to predict where he would be at any given moment seemed mitigated by her panic. She was sloppy, shaking, and Barv, who never seemed to get rattled by anything, managed to defend himself until Gisela screamed out, "Give me my friend back!" And her glowing weapon sliced across Barv's midsection. Yakiel cried out as Barv staggered back. Fortunately, Gisela's weapon had barely grazed him. It was a smoking wound, but not deep and could be treated. Yakiel's eyes met Barv's. She realized now what had happened. Even as pity and sympathy for Gisela washed through her, the Bothan knew that she had to be stopped. Preferably by fellow Jedi. Even more preferably by Yakiel. Crying incoherently, her mouth made ugly by a snarl, Gisela bore down on the Ramoan. Yakiel's hand shot out, grasped air, and pulled. Barv's huge green body was suddenly, invisibly yanked out of the path of Gisela's slicing lightsaber. The weapon made a buzzing sound as it sliced empty air, where a fraction of an instant earlier, Barv had stood. Had Yakiel not intervened, the Ramoan would have been sliced in two. Gisela whirled, her gaze impaling Yakiel. Then her eyes widened in horror and grief.
"Oh no! Not Yakiel too!"
she cried brokenly, almost whimpering. And if it were not for the fact that the human girl had just almost killed Barv, that sound would have cracked Yakiel's heart. Instead, she wrapped it in Durasteel and hardened herself to what had to be done. She glanced around frantically in the instant before Gisela sprang. There was nothing she... Ah, the cam droid! There it was, hovering about the now panicking crowd, faithfully recording the incident. And over there, that journalist speaking into something in his hand. It would be all over the news vids tonight. Might already be actual footage of a Jedi going nuts and attacking civilians and fellow members of her own order. The GA would have a field day with that. Yakiel reached out again with the Force, snagged the cam, and alternately pulled the droid in Gisela's direction and pushed the charging Jedi backward. Except, again, somehow Gisela knew it was going to happen. She turned with more than enough time to methodically slice the cam droid into three chunks, which she then directed back at Yakiel. The Bothan Jedi was dimly aware of the reporter yelling,
"Hey, what are you doing? That's valuable property!"
His irritation gave Yakiel a tiny spark of pleasure. The pleasure quickly vanished when she realized that Gisela was running at her. But then the human Jedi vaulted over Yakiel's head at dizzying speed. Yakiel whirled, set to pursue. Gisela had covered a great deal of distance already. Clearly, she was more interested in escaping than in fighting. But it didn't look like she was going to. Even as Yakiel followed, several GA vehicles pulled up. Their doors slid open and disgorged several men and women clad in the blue uniforms and helmets of Galactic Alliance Security. They immediately started firing on Gisela. She leapt, ducked, and moved her lightsaber in a blue blur, batting the stun blast back at those who were firing on her. For a wild second, Yakiel thought Gisela was going to make good her escape. But there came a blast that was either simply one too many for her to handle, or else one she had failed with her preternatural senses to anticipate. In mid-leap, Gisela Horn was struck by a bolt and rendered unconscious. And because she loved her friend, and because she knew that something dreadful had happened to Gisela to make her act this way, Yakiel reached out with the Force, caught her, and lowered her gently to the pavement. The GA converged on Gisela like a swarm of insects. Yakiel glanced back at Barv and was relieved to see that he was on his feet, although he was clearly in pain. He nodded to her, and she nodded back, turning toward the guards who had clustered around Gisela. It would have made for an odd picture had one not known that Gisela was a Jedi Knight. 7 heavily armed officers clustered around 1 slight human female. Their blasters still pointed at her as one of their own quickly bent over the limp form, retrieved her lightsaber, and began to pat her down for any other weapons. One of them snapped restraining devices on her slender wrists. This was bad. The GA had already gotten their hands on one Jedi who had appeared to have gone berserk. They sure didn't need another to encase in carbonite and hang on a wall like some sick trophy or credential. If only Yakiel and Barv had been able to bring her in. A thought struck Yakiel, and she smiled a little to herself. Deactivating her lightsaber and returning it to her belt, she strode briskly up to the nearest GA officer.
"Good work,"
she said. She extended her thoughts, brushed those of the Quarren male who was speaking into a small handheld device.
"A smooth capture. I'm sure your superiors will agree that the Jedi belongs in the temple. I'll take charge of the prisoner from here."
The Quarren's tentacles twitched in irritation, and even before he spoke, Yakiel knew she'd picked the wrong target.
"Not rightly, Jedi. Take your mind tricks elsewhere, and step back before I have you arrested for interfering with the prisoner's arrest. She was taken down by the GA, and will go to them for evaluation."
"You're going to just stick her in carbonite!"
Yakiel burst out, her fur rippling in anger.
"She's a Jedi, and the temple's right here!"
The tentacles twitched, this time obviously in amusement.
"Too bad you didn't bring her down a few meters from here, then, isn't it? This is not your jurisdiction, Jedi."
He almost spat the word. Yakiel seethed, but the Quarren was right. Legally, the GA had authorization here. The fight with Gisela had taken only a couple of minutes, although it had felt like an eternity. And now she watched as several Jedi, lightsabers glowing, poured from the temple, only to halt in their tracks, as helpless as she. She turned away from the sight of their shocked expressions to watch, impotent and furious and heartsick, as one of her best friends was trussed up and bustled quickly into a vehicle. The door slammed shut.
"Stang."
Accepting, if not liking, the fact that she could do nothing for Gisela now, Yakiel turned and trotted back to Barv. Some of the other Jedi had already reached him, and Silgal herself had put a flippered hand on the Ramoan's shoulder and was gently guiding him back to the temple. No one was going to stop this particular Jedi from receiving Jedi medical aid. Barv allowed that he had certainly felt better, but had complete confidence in Silgal's abilities to heal him, and eventually to heal Valen and Gisela. Silgal caught Yakiel's attention and sighed.
"I saw it happen, right before my eyes,"
she said quietly.
"We'll be debriefing both you and Basil here. Come back with me to the temple. We'll take care of Basil, and then we will talk."
Yakiel nodded miserably. Her ears twitched at a sound, and she turned to see a multi-passenger speeder, distinctively marked with the seal of the Galactic Alliance, pull up right beside the cluster of officials.
"Just when I thought it couldn't get worse,"
she growled.
Chapter 4. Temple District, Coruscant.
The speeder door slid open, and an attractive older human female stepped out. Her crisp white admiral's uniform modeled to a figure that was still fit and toned. Green eyes took in the situation at once, keen as lasers in a face framed by copper-colored hair only beginning to gray. And as Admiral Natasi Dalla, Galactic Alliance Chief of State, moved assuredly forward, Yakiel's heart sank. A 3PO protocol droid followed her and addressed the crowd that was beginning to quiet down now at the presence of GA security. All were curious as to what their Chief of State had to say about this event. Yakiel glanced over the crowd and frowned as she saw the reporter holding a small cam and speaking intently into it, then directing it toward Dalla. She had hoped that the coverage of the event would have stopped with the destruction of the cam droid, but apparently the journalist had a backup.
"Your attention, please, good citizens,"
said the protocol droid in its pleasant, crisp voice.
"Chief of State Dalla has a few words to address to you."
The crowd murmured expectantly, then fell silent. The Jedi supporting Barv stayed where they were.
"This should be good,"
Yakiel muttered sarcastically. Silgal silenced her with a pointed glare from a single eye. Dalla waited until her staff had set up a makeshift podium, complete with a microphone, then stepped forward. She did not speak immediately, only regarded the crowd intently.
"A short while ago, Valen Horn, Jedi Knight, appeared to go insane,"
Dalla said without preamble. Her voice was slightly husky, but pleasant to the ear. Still, Yakiel winced at the choice of words. Dalla obviously was not going to pull any punches.
"He claimed not to recognize his own parents. He claimed they were doppelgangers,
identical replacements of people he had known and loved all his life.
Dalla paused to let the ludicrousness of the notion sink into the now avidly listening throng.
And in escaping these evil duplicates, he caused a great deal of property damage and physical harm as he attempted to elude capture. Fortunately, and with little thanks to the Jedi Order, who consistently stood in our way, the GA was able to obtain custody of Valen Horn. Deemed criminally insane, he is now safely imprisoned in Carbonite, unable to harm anyone further.
Dalla paused to take a sip of water. Yakiel was willing to bet she wasn't really thirsty, just making a dramatic pause.
Today, Gisela Horn, Jedi Knight and sister to Valen Horn, demonstrated identical behavior. Fortunately, her capture was swift and decisive, and she is safely in Galactic Alliance hands. There will be no negotiations for her release with the Jedi this time. She will be taken directly from here to the same facility in which her brother is incarcerated. Once any injuries she sustained in resisting arrest are properly treated, she will be frozen in carbonite.
Silgal lowered her head and closed her eyes. Yakiel felt a lump in her throat. She thought of Master Corrin and his wife, Mirax. Both of their children. How would they endure it? Dalla continued mercilessly.
It is becoming brutally clear that there is something going wrong with the Jedi. They are intelligent, trained warriors with powers that most of us can barely comprehend. Their former leader, erstwhile Grandmaster Luke Skywalker, failed in his duty to protect the public from one Jedi who sought to obtain power. As all of you know, he pleaded guilty to the charge of reckless endangerment of a population. For this crime, Luke Skywalker has been sentenced to exile for 10 Coruscant years, unless he can produce a convincing argument and evidence that he is able to properly control and manage his order. Now we have not one, but two Jedi who appear to be having dangerous hallucinations that even the Jedi themselves cannot properly explain. Rest assured, we will investigate and explore all possible explanations for this baffling and unsettling development. In the meantime, the Jedi will continue to come under heavy scrutiny and remain under the watchful eye of the government. I will now accept a few questions.
As Yakiel had known he would, the reporter shouldered his way to the front, raising his hand. He was not alone. Apparently the incident, brief and comparatively bloodless as it had been, had drawn the newshounds like Krakanas to chum-infested waters. Dalla smiled a little at them. Her emerald eyes flickered over the crowd. And then she pointed at someone.
Javis Tyr,
she said.
Please, ask your question.
Admiral, the first reporter said, his voice smooth and cultured and perfectly paced and pitched. Yakiel was really beginning to hate this guy.
Do you honestly think it can possibly be coincidence that the two Jedi who have displayed such aberrant behavior are siblings?
There are many factors to take into account in our investigation, but certainly we will be looking into any genetic causes for this display of uncontrollable violence and peril.